When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome to the Melchester Odyssey. It's the 3rd of July 1982 issue of Roy the Rovers. We'll be looking at the Roy the Rovers story continuing, obviously, but also a few little other bits. On the back page of this, I didn't send you the photograph of it, but there's a lovely advert for Star Wars Empire Strikes Back figures. Now, this is 2 years after Empire Strikes Back came out, Sam.
Wow. Well, it was still the number one toy, wasn't it? I mean, yeah. This era, so what we're talking about, 83, right?
82.
I mean, I had this brilliant toy shop in, I think Empire Strikes Back came out in 1980, didn't it? 1981, I thought.
Was it? I thought it was 80.
Well.
Okay. Let's not quibble about it.
We had, the toy shop in Chiswick High Road was like the best toy shop in my neck of the woods, and it was called Toy Cave. And it was a proper fucking toy shop. Yeah? Shit. Right up to the fucking ceiling. You had to get down with a grabber stick. Yeah?
Yeah.
Every type of toy. I can remember how the cunt smelt. Yeah?
And you
get a quid pocket money, and it was a quid for a Star Wars figure. Or I can't remember. Maybe you saved up over 2 weeks, 250 piece, whatever. And you just go up, and they'd have fucking so many. Like years later when they were still going, but you'd go in some shops and they'd just have a few. And very often they wouldn't have any of the popular ones. They wouldn't have Luke or Han or Chewie because they'd all sold out. So you'd have to end up...
what was left over, yeah.
They'd have to get some weird, that fucking hammer-headed weird bloke from the cantina or whatever. But the smell of the Star Wars figure and everything. Did you used to do that, go and spend your pocket money on a Star Wars figure?
Yeah, but I kind of spent my money on records. I'd kind of progressed beyond the figures. Me brother was heavily into the figures. He's 3 years younger than me, so he's about your age. So we're talking about the same time. He was massively into the figures. But we had a toy shop called Joseph's. And down the street was... Joseph's had two shops, a toy shop and a sports shop, Sam.
Oh, who was Joseph? John Joseph?
I don't know. This is what I need to know.
Fucking, obviously, what a man.
Long gone now. But
he's one of the biggest power players in Sunderland in the early 80s.
Yeah.
All of the big gala events, yeah, when the mayor throws some sort of charity fundraiser or like there's maybe the MP comes and visits or something like that. Anything big going down. John Joseph was at the fucking forefront of it. Local dignitary.
Yeah. Toy shop, which was over two floors. And I still remember the staircase because it was later converted into a pub. And you used to go up the staircase to get to the toilets. And it was the same staircase. It still had the same ornate banister up the staircase that it had from when it was a toy shop.
And John Joseph didn't run the pub as well, did he?
He didn't run the pub. No, I don't know what happened to him. I might have to look into that. Someone might tell us what happened to him.
A toy shop and a sports shop. Genuinely, I think, unfortunately, the days of shops are almost gone now, but I would fucking love to run a toy shop or a sports shop, particularly a toy shop. They may be a great job because imagine the joy you'd be bringing every day.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I think it'd be a pain in the arse. Running any kind of shop's a pain in the arse because I've worked in one for years. I'd run a record shop, but I know that would be a pain in the arse because you'd get people who come in and use it like a social club and they just hang around and want to chat with you. Because that happens.
Well, some people might like that, mate. Did you ever... did you read the book Nick Hornby's High Fidelity when that came out?
Yeah.
I thought you might think it was for cunts, though. Never know with you. With Dawson, it could go either way. Cunts book. What? Cunts book. Really, anyone who's read that's a cunt.
Next.
What did you think, as a record shop worker yourself, what did you think of it in terms of its authenticity?
It was really good. I identified with a lot of it, but then again, Hornby's record shop was your specialist record shop, wasn't it? It was your independent retailer, whereas I was part of the Outprice chain. Price,
man.
So different culture. Different culture.
But
we had...
it's more the culture you're envisaging, because if you open a record shop, it's going to be Andy's Records, and it's going to be very much independent, and I would imagine curated to an almost fascistic extent.
No, it would be solely about making money, Sam.
All right.
I would sell whatever needed to be sold.
You're there and you don't know me, but I am just some poncy Londoner who for some reason is making a stop off in Sunderland, right?
I'm immediately taking a dislike into you, carry on.
Yeah, I know that, I've walked in some fashionable London clothes, maybe talking loudly into my mobile phone, I don't know. Probably. And I go, hang on a minute, I'm just in a record shop. Oh, no, they've actually got some good places up here now. I've read good things about this online. Excuse me, mate, do you have the In Excess album, Kick?
Fuck off.
Okay, good day. Bing! Right, that is not about making money, is it? You could have made money out of me there.
You're right, I've played that wrong, haven't I? Shit.
You have.
Oh, man.
You're not going to make money that way. Excuse me, mate, do you have The Best of Queen?
Fuck off. Does this look like some kind of cunt shop?
I'm worried. I'm worried about the viability of this venture.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's not going to work out, is it? I haven't got enough thought.
Whereas if I had a toy shop, they could come in, ask for any fucking toy, I'd be like, excuse me, mate, do you have Action Force? No, fuck off, this is for Star Wars figures. Action Force is for cunts.
This is a toy shop for grown-ups who grew up in the 1980s. Fuck off.
Fucking what Action kids? Force, you prick. Next you'll be asking me for a fucking yo-yo. Get out. No, I'll say, look, we've got anything, and if we don't have it, I will be able to order it for you.
Yeah.
Can you write down your name and phone number in this ledger that I keep on the counter? I will order it and I will call you to notify you when it's on its way.
You sound a lot like Nigel Tufnell in Spinal Tap with his fictional shoe shop.
That's my favourite bit in Spinal Tap, is when he starts playing out what it would be like if he was working in a shop. Because I do that in my head quite often, yeah.
Right, can we get into Roy the Rovers? Before we get into the actual Roy the Rover story, this is so good. The phone call of the week section where kids just ring in and say stuff, and if it's the best one, they'll print it and you get £3. Now, I'll read this in Roy's voice. It's from the phone call of the week is from Carvim Charles.
Weird name. I've never heard the name Carvim before.
Well, I haven't either, no, but maybe Roy made up, maybe an anagram. Maybe he said Marvin Carvim. And he just wrote it down wrong. He says, Carvim lives in Clapton, London, E5. And when he rang in, this is what he had to say. I think your comic is really great. I especially like the talking pages. My favourite stories are Durrell's Palace, because they have a good manager, and the Marx Brothers, because it's never boring. I do not like Mighty Mouse, The Hard Man, and Safest Hands in Soccer.
Oh, I remember all of those.
I think they are totally unrealistic.
Oh.
I mean, he started off with saying, I think your comic is really great, but then he's just laid it
three of
the
your
stories.
Main staples are, in my opinion, shit.
One other criticism. I reckon the My Team's performance page should be dropped altogether. Fucking hell, Carvin. He says, I am a Coventry City supporter, and my favourite player was Steve Hunt until he got transferred back to Cosmos.
Fucking hell. He's living in Clapton, E5. He should be fucking West Ham. What's he supporting Coventry for?
And who the fuck asked him who his team was and who his favourite player was? No one asked him. And then Roy says, Steve had great hopes of making it really big in the first division, Carvim, but things didn't quite work out for him. The offer to rejoin Cosmos was too good to turn down. but I'm not turning you down. You win £3.
Now, fuck off.
You get your £3. There, Roy.
Do us a favour, right? Stop fucking reading the comic.
Yeah.
It's not
for you.
You
don't like it. £3 on account of the fact you do not ever, ever read my comic again.
Have your £3 and go and buy something that's more your speed, like fucking Wizard and Chips, you baby.
Fucking Beano or something, you fucking baby. I love that. The kid's written it or rang in and told them down the phone. Here are the things I do not like about your comic.
I can imagine. Like, when you're so bored in the 80s, there was so little to do when you were at home in the holidays, because this would have been the summer holidays, this particular issue.
Yeah.
You were bored shitless, weren't you, in the summer holidays?
Yeah.
And you think, fuck it, I'll just fucking... What's this? You're looking through Roy the Rose, you think, yeah. Oh, right, that's good. I might just fucking call that number and say some stuff. I'm assuming it was an answer phone, right?
Well, I don't know. It's just a phone number there. So whether it was an answer phone or whether...
When we were kids, if anyone
the
published...
The editor answered the phone.
If anyone published a phone number, right, that you could call up and it was anything high profile, instinctively, we would call that number and just start shouting fucking cunt, fuck off, bollocks, cunt down the phone until they hung up.
Yeah.
One of you doing it and the other one listening on the other line.
I'd have been scared. I'd have been too scared to do it. But, yeah, there we are. So let's get on to Roy of the Rovers itself. It says at the top, in speech marks, we've got him. It must be umpire. He was run out by a mile. See what that's about. So it tells us what's going on. It says the Rovers were playing a series of one-day cricket matches against powerful Carmorese Cavaliers to raise money for Stanthorpe United, who were managed by former Melchester star Lofty Peak, who we've seen fuck all of since he set up this game. Is Lofty Peak even there? I've got no idea.
He's got a fucking hands-off attitude, man after my own heart. He set the whole thing up. And he's like, right, yeah. I'll leave you to it. I've got a bit of shopping to do for the missus.
I can't make it. Can you just send the check on afterwards?
I'm off up Safeways, right? I will try my very best to make it back in time before the game's over. If you don't see me, don't worry. It means I've gone straight home and I'll catch up with you later in the week. But like I say, thanks, yeah?
Cheers for everything you're doing. Really appreciate it. In the first match, Mervyn Wallace was injured by a vicious ball from Aussie fast bowler Ralph Meeker, and the Rovers were in big trouble as Roy went for a quick run. Of course, Roy has just knocked the ball to the side from a fast ball, and Noel Baxter has called the run, started a run. Roy has instinctively gone. It says the crowd, the Lampards are saying, Noel Baxter must be balmy. There was never a single there. And Ralph Meeker has caught the ball and is chucking it back towards the wickets to try and get Roy out. Hard in, Ralph, shouts one of the players. We've got him! And Ralph hurls the fucker at the stumps. Hits the stumps. How's that? One of them shouts. It must be umpire. He was run out by a mile. Look at Roy there. Look at Roy's face as he dives with his legs up in the air. And his bat just touching down at the crease to try and be in. And has he made it? The umpire has got a great big daft grin on his face. And he says, Roy's speed and fitness saved him. I reckon he just made it. He's like, well, I don't know.
You reckon? You're the umpire, yeah. Mate.
Yeah, it might have done. It looks all right to me, yeah. I wasn't watching, to be honest.
And also, what fucking hell, mate. What are you trying to do, seduce Roy? Just gazing down at him. Roy's speed and fitness saved him.
Yeah.
He was like a stallion then. I saw every sinew in his rock-hard body ripple as he launched himself at the fucking wicket.
He's not going to suck off, mate.
The beads of sweat rippling their way down his manly temple and his chiselled facial features. All right, fuck it. Was he in or was he out, you mad cunt?
He just made it. He just made it, and I'm just about to make it as well. Ooh.
Ralph Meeker. Stop looking. Stop undressing Roy with your eyes. It makes him feel uncomfortable when you do that. Just fucking umpire the game like you're being paid to.
I see what's going on here. This is why you were in our dressing room before we started, having a look.
Having a good
You were in there for
look.
Too long. I thought there was something weird about you.
Mate, have you watched It's a Sin yet?
Yeah.
It's fucking good.
It's brilliant.
I don't know what happens. Well, I know what happens, obviously, but I watched the first two episodes last night and I thought it was absolutely blinding.
Oh, you've not seen episode 3 yet?
No.
Okay.
Well, I know that. How many episodes is it? 3?
It's 5. 5 right. altogether.
Okay, well, it's, yeah, I mean, I found it obviously deeply troubling and sad, but also absolutely fucking brilliant. Love the 80s settings. Love, there's a lot of sort of what they call fan service in the 80s for pricks like us who are like, you know, like, because there's bits like, there's 80s nostalgia fan service just for the sheer hell of it that Russell T. Davis has fitted in. Yeah. Right, on top of the very powerful messages that it's communicating and the brilliant characterization, all the rest of it. It also does little things like someone gets out of the car in the Isle of Wight, which is obviously one of the many reasons I love it, that there's a lot of scenes in the Isle of Wight. And she goes to the girl, the grumpy sister says to the girl, the mixed race girl who's in it, goes, "Have you locked the door?" And she goes, "Oh, sorry." And then she opens the door of the car, like the sort of fucking Ford Marina or whatever it is, and puts the lock down on the inside door and then shuts it again. And I'm clapping like an idiot. Oh, I'm going to my wife. It was fucking brilliant. It's so good. She had to lock the door from the inside. Just little moments like that.
But I'll say this. It makes being gay in the early 1980s look fucking brilliant.
I know, It does, yeah.
They're just having loads just of like parties and just having it off laugh. All the time. It looks fucking great.
Non-stop shagging, non-stop fun, brilliant music. I really liked the gay pub that they all are in as well.
Yeah.
Because you used to have those like, when I was watching it, I was thinking how truly and horrifically homophobic everything was when I was a kid. And how it was just so normal to be casually homophobic. Because in a way, you thought that homosexuals were like, there was hardly any of them and they were all hiding in the shadows because I knew a couple of gay people, friends of my parents sort of thing. But didn't, you know, anyway, whatever. And I was thinking, fucking hell, it was grotesquely homophobic, everything, because I was looking at this gay pub that they're in. And I'm thinking that pub looks fucking brilliant, much better than any other pub. Because everyone's just having a laugh, there's music playing, everyone's just like being very open with each other. And I thought those gay pubs look great. And I remembered when I was a kid and then when I was a bit older and started going to pubs, there were certain pubs you go, you know that pub? Yeah, it's a gay pub.
Gay pub, yeah.
Gay pub. And we're like, oh, don't go in there. Yeah. And people would make up jokes like, you know what, we should set him up and tell him we'll meet him at such and such a pub. It's a gay pub.
It's a gay pub.
Yeah, well, what? Like in fucking Police Academy where they keep going to the, what's it called? What's it called? The gay bar.
It's the Blue Oyster or something.
The Blue Oyster. And you think you're going to walk into a gay pub and as soon as you go in there, gays will descend on you.
They're going to bum him against the wall.
They'll bum him the moment he gets in there. Right. And that is what people thought. And I've considered myself to be from a pretty liberal background, liberal family. But you're watching and you're thinking, fucking hell. This fucking gay pub looks like the absolute bollocks. And,
But that's probably what it was. I knew a couple of gay people when I was about 17, 18, but they just couldn't come out widely to everybody.
Nah.
They just couldn't do it because, I mean, it might have been different attitudes in Sunderland to what there was in London.
Yeah, I'm not being, I mean, this sounds like a little bit sniffy, but it was bad enough in London.
Yeah.
And I imagine that it would have been a lot harder in somewhere like Sunderland.
But they used to go, there was a club in Newcastle that they used to go to, which was a gay club. And there's a sort of small gay area in Newcastle, which is bigger than anything that was in Sunderland. So that was where they gravitated to. But I imagine once they were through the doors of that place, it would be like what we saw on It's a Sin.
Yeah.
It would be like, you can be who you want to be kind of thing.
Mm.
But weird times.
I can't remember what I brought up now. Something just happened in the comic strip, and I said, "Have you seen?"
Well, it was the fucking umpire lusting over Roy.
Jalapeño.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Jalapeño.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. I mean, I've only seen two episodes, but everything about the show is fucking superb. And one of the brilliant things is the really lechy old Taylor.
Yes.
Right? The lechy old Taylor who basically tries to nonce up the kid who's working for him in it. And it's so funny. It's very much shades of Uncle Monty from With Nell and I. He even looks a bit like him.
Getting to wash himself at the end of every day.
But that is the funniest thing, is when he tries to fucking nonce him up. Okay, now I need to teach you about cleanliness. You must understand that when you're working with, because they're working in a Savile Row tailors, you're working with cotton all day, the tiny, minuscule bits of cotton, the molecules will get under your skin and infect your body. So you must wash yourself thoroughly. Take your shirt off. Wash it. Wash your body. And he starts washing his arms off.
Yeah. And then it's so the other fella comes weird. In and sees them. Yeah.
It's brilliantly weird. And you think, I mean, I usually wait until I finish the show before I start reading stuff about it, because you don't want spoilers. So, like, I'm desperate to read interviews with Russell T. Davis about.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's I guess autobiographical or semi autobiographical. Yeah. And that is the bit you think it's so specific. The way in which that's such a weirdly specific thing that he makes his staff wash themselves in front of him.
Yeah.
You think that must have fucking actually happened to Russell T. Davis.
Totally. Or someone he knows, yeah. So, Roy has just avoided being called out and what's he called? Fucking Ralph Meeker loses it here. Look at him, he's right in the umpire's face and he says, "What? You need glasses, pal. Or maybe you're biased towards race because he's a pommy soccer hero."
Oh, then, fucking hell. To be fair, he is biased towards race. He is biased. We've established that.
Of course he is. But then Blackie emerges from the side. "Now cut that out, Ralph." Hey. Mika was forced to apologise. The umpire points to him as Mika walks away. "Any more of that?" And, okay, I said I was sorry. I'll just have to take care of Mr. Superstar Race another way." Oh, fucking hell. He's enraged him. Psycho Bowler has been enraged. It says, "Meeker had developed a delivery which lifted sharply off a perfect length," which are the exact words that Blackie used in the last issue, wasn't it?
Obviously, internally, they've just decided that's the line.
But it lifts sharply off a perfect length. And he demonstrates that with his next one. Say the crowd, and Roy just ducks as it bounces over his head. Again, no protection, no helmet, just the leg pads. Roy thinks, "But that was a genuine bouncer. Seems like Ralphie boy has lost his temper." And then before Meeker's next ball, that's a really good illustration, actually.
Really great,
Roy's
yeah.
in the foreground with his bat poised. Meeker's coming at him, ready to bowl a fast one. Roy thinks, "He'll probably pitch this one well up, so if I can get down the wicket to it..." Again, jargon. I don't really know what's going on here, but we'll see. And he does
Roy
that.
Roy is just totally literate in cricket, but he is in all sports, isn't he? Can you imagine?
In life,
like, we've seen Roy play golf before, haven't we?
Yeah, brilliant at that, yeah.
Yeah, it's just brilliant at everything.
Absolutely natural.
But some people are like that. Mm.
Just alpha male, isn't he?
"Want any plumbing done? I'll do that, no problem. Don't fucking pay." You don't pay for a plumber, do you? Fucking hell.
"Do you need a big key? I can get you a big key from somewhere. Don't ask.
Big as you fucking want.
So he does that. He steps up and he hits it. Oh, great shot. Beautiful off drive. you can run for that one, Neil Baxter, someone shouts. The batsman completed three runs, which brought Noel to face Meeker. Oh, that's not good. That's not good. And Meeker bowls another fast one. Noel hits it, just swings at it really, and he goes, whoops! the crowd shout, it's a skyer over the slips! Noel's
a skyer's
a
not
swing.
A fucking word, is it?
A skyer. I don't know. Maybe it is. And they're all stood there. Of course, they're in their civvies. The fans, they're not wearing their Melchester colours, so it looks a bit unusual.
Yeah.
Got their summer wear on.
Summer
casuals. It goes to the boundary, close to where these fans are. Everyone says, and he's got away with it. Ha ha, what a streaky shot. But they all count. Go on, you Rovers. Fucking hell, man. I wish these cunts would go on holiday or something. With Noel continuing to take chances, 39 runs were added. Fucking hell. But eventually, Ralph Meeker balls him out there straight down the middle stump. Meeker's got him, but the score is much more respectable now. 61 for 4 wickets. So it's looking good. A few balls later, it became 71 for 6 wickets. Rattling through this. Another victim for Meeker. Charlie Carter's been caught at the wicket. So there's not much about Roy in this. Roy's obviously...
That's what I'm wondering. So Roy has a number of different partners.
Yeah.
And presumably Roy is just, whenever he's in to bat, they're not showing it. So he's obviously just still playing it quite safe. Just making sure he stays in.
Yeah, Roy's racking up the score gradually, I think.
Yeah.
But then
slowly.
His various partners are clearly not as good as him.
Yeah.
So Charlie Carter's been caught. How's that? Shouts Meeker. And then next in was veteran Nat Gosden.
Fucking hell, Nat Gosden's looking really handsome. Like, he's sorted his hair out, because in the football season he looks quite bald with just a few Bobby Charlton strands. But the summer's done wonders for him. He looks fit, healthy, and he looks a lot like a young Sean Connery in this particular image.
He does. Perhaps he's had a hair transplant, I don't know.
Yeah, one of the early ones.
About the time. Elton John had one, didn't he?
Yeah.
Did you see the tweet that I sent at the weekend of the big match?
Elton John on
episode?
Big match. No, but I'm presuming I can watch that back on, there's a watch again system.
It's on catch up on ITV Hub, but it's also on YouTube as well, I think, so it'll be available forever.
And this is Elton John as guest presenter on the big match.
Elton John presenting the big match with Kevin Keegan as one of his sidekicks and Mick Shannon. Mick Shannon was always mad as well, so that'll be a great watch.
I've got to say, that sounds quite good.
It sounds like a History Box episode, doesn't it, Sam?
It does, yeah.
So, onwards. Here's Nat Gosden. Again, the Greek chorus in the crowd give us a bit of extra info. Nat's played a lot of cricket in the Lancashire League, so he should be being useful. Good luck, Grandad! That's another one. I wish these cunts would stop calling me Grandad. I'm 34. For fuck's sake.
Fucking hell.
And, Roy says to him, Nat, it's vital we make some sort of stand. If we get thrashed in the first game, and Nat Gosden says, I know, lad. Lad? Calls him lad? I know, lad. The fans will lose interest and it'll be Lofty Peak who will suffer most. He will be financially ruined.
Wherever the fuck he is, by
suffer.
The way.
He will probably make an attempt on his own life.
I've been worried about his mental stability for some time, Roy. I can read the signs.
His life is at stake here, now.
This whole fucking enterprise of this cricket tournament has been just a fucking one of his frantic episodes where he's run around trying to set up a fucking fantastical thing, and now, when it's on the way finally, he's disappeared. It will probably find him in his garage fucking socking on a hose pipe.
This is what he does. He doesn't deal with the situation until it's almost out of hand. He's like there's a dam and there's a leak and he's trying to put his finger in it, but it's too late. The dam's about to burst, Roy.
Yeah. All right,
You've only got so many fingers.
Nat, calm down. We just got to fucking do this cricketing. We'll deal. We'll go and find Lofty afterwards.
Oh, God. I've just saw something on Twitter, but it's not appropriate to talk about it because this episode's going out a week after we've done it. But okay. I'll mention it at the end. Right, so, yeah, he's Ralph coming on. No, not Ralph. Nat. Who the fuck's Ralph? Oh, Ralph's a bowler. Yeah. Anyway. I know, lad, the fans will lose interest and it'll be Lofty Pink who'll suffer most. But a few balls later, after Nat had got his speech marks eye in, bit of terminology there. Oh, wow. Nat hit a ball there and he shouts, come in, Roy. And Roy starts the run. You bet, Nat. Good little partnership going on here. Good rapport.
Yeah.
From the crowd. Suffering stars. I've heard of short singles, but this is ridiculous. Fucking hell. But they've made it. Well run, you two. A few more like that and we'll be back in the hunt. Rovers could make a fight of it even yet. And that's where it ends. It ends in quite
even
a genteel.
Yet.
Ends on quite a genteel note, really. It's This is the third week of this match we've had now. Fucking hell.
It's quite exciting as comic cricket matches go.
I'm giving it an 8 out of 10.
You can see why they were probably thinking, Skew and the lads at the publishing place were probably thinking, now, if this takes off and the readers respond, we could do a fucking year-round cricket comic to go with our fucking football comic. But it's just hard to bring it to life.
Yeah.
It's never going to be quite as exciting.
It's not. But the World Cup's on in the background, isn't it? We've got the World Cup happening. The production,
Spain 82.
The production of this, you can't sort of, it probably gets printed sort of a week and a half in advance or something, so you can't react to what's happening in the World Cup, so you need a distraction. And I guess that's what this is. Otherwise, would you do?
If you're looking for a bit of cricket content after we've been trying to get our heads around it, I meant to say that two of our associates and two keen Top Flight Time Machine listeners, producer Mark Mercado and Tommy Stewart, have joined forces and done a cricket podcast called Morale End.
I saw that, yeah.
I mean, I've not listened to it, but it's bound to be good if you like. So if you want to give cricket a go, I think it'll be, you know, funny.
If you want to get into cricket. So, yeah, that's it from this one.
There's a picture of Pelé. Are we going to talk about that, or have we sort of covered it?
Yeah, we can do. There's the double-page spread of Pelé that was primed in the previous episode. Pelé is not wearing his official football kit. He's got a yellow T-shirt on.
It's a Cosmos. It's a New York
Cosmos
T-shirt. But it's not their official
kit. It's not a strip. And he's just got a ball at his feet, the NASL official ball. and he's done his signature there, and I think it says something "Hello, amigo" as well. That's nice.
Yeah, he's dressed like I dress in lockdown, just around the house, because he's got some really quite baggy tracksuit bottoms and quite big baggy socks. Like it's proper. Like this is not a professional sportsman look. This is I'm just at home. It's kind of like I'm at home a bit hungover.
Yeah,
might just watch a telly. Might watch a bit of telly and microwave a pizza.
It is, and he's obviously sent them this picture. They probably couldn't afford a picture of him in an official kit. This one, right? I took it down the park. My son took it down the park. You can have that for 500 quid. Yeah. You can have that for 500 quid. If you want me in my Brazil kit or even my Cosmos kit, you're looking at the thick end of 10 grand. It's up to you. So there we go. Pelé, never far away from a pound note. I tell you who else I've realised is very, very fond of a shilling or two, which I was surprised by. Nick Cave. Nick Cave has got all sorts of merch shit going on his website.
Yeah.
All kinds of things that he kind of designs himself and things. Tickets for his gigs. He plays like arenas now. They're generally about 75 quid. And for someone who's kind of an outsider figure and has come from the punk scene originally, Nick Cave is very, very shrewd.
Yeah, but look at it this way, mate. I mean, it's like, you know, he could, in the past, All of those things would have been being sold, and all the money would be going direct into the pocket of the record company, yeah?
And his local heroin dealer.
Right. So what he's doing is he's taking back control. He's a creative person. People want to buy what he creates, and, you know, let him sell it to them directly.
There's a lot of it going on, even more so than the TFTM merch scene, which, you know, is quite full on. Oh, fucking loads of stuff. Nick Cave knocks out all sorts.
But, Nick Cave mouse pad? Afraid, but can you get a Nick Cave mouse pad?
It's kind of like that level. Yeah, it's sort of like Nick Cave pencil sharpener, that sort of stuff. It just doesn't seem to be in keeping with his long-standing image, but there you go.
I'm going to get a Nick Cave face mask.
They probably do them as well. Nick Cave eye patch.
Yeah, lovely.
For the partially blind. And then one other thing that's in this episode, in this issue rather, that I've scanned and sent to you, is the announcement of, I got a shiver. I got a frisson when I saw this. The announcement of the Roy the Rover's summer special. Now, I'd forgotten the joy you get when a summer special comes out, because obviously it's larger than the average issue. This one's 50p. And as we know, Roy at the Rovers has gone up to 18p this week. So this is like...
This is like an annual. It's like price. It's not quite as big as the annual they release at Christmas, but it's halfway there.
It's not hardback, but it's similar. Mm. Yeah. Mm. And it's meant to last you for a while. It'll last you half a day, really, to be honest.
If you were going on holiday somewhere... then it would be that you'd take it.
You'd get it and you'd save it for the car journey. Eight hours in the car.
Oh, not me. I get very car sick if I read in the car.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I still do. And I used to vomit fairly regularly in my father's car.
I thought you might,
when I was a child. And he was forever having to clean up the vomit.
Yes, I had to have a sick bag in the air, to carry a bag in my lap as we drove.
The only way I can avoid car sickness... is to look out the window, because car sickness seems to come from, it's a nausea that is caused by your brain getting confused, because if you're focusing on something motionless like reading, your brain's trying to focus on that, but the rest of your senses, your ears and the other senses such as your bum
and your balls,
they can sense that you are in motion, and the brain's like thinking, this fuck me, I don't know whether I'm coming or going here, I better send a message to the gods to start feeling sick as a warning. And then you're sick. So what you have to do to avoid it is to look out the window.
Right. I mean, you've been in my car when we've been on tour. You just sleep all the time. Does that help as well?
Yeah. Did I sleep in your car?
Yeah. Yeah, we drove from Thirsk to Leeds. Didn't we?
Nah, did we? Yeah. Nah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We did.
Nah.
You got off the train at Thirsk and I met you in Thirsk station.
Oh, yeah, but then we just drove into Thirsk. We didn't go to Leeds. If I slept between Thirsk Station and Thirsk, which is highly possible, then that is impressive.
It was a 3-minute journey. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, if you ask my wife and kids, they'd go, yeah, he could definitely go into fucking deep sleep in 3 minutes in a car.
Yeah, he'd slept on trains a lot when we were on tour.
Yeah, if I've got nothing to do... like nothing to actually do, then my first instinct is shut down. Shut my body down, as the song we were going to release
shut
is called.
Shut my body down.
Shut my body down.
We need a tour again next year when it's all back normal. So that's the summer special. That's coming out as well.
Keep an eye out for the Top Flight Time Machine summer special this summer. I don't know what form it will take. It might just be a special episode of the podcast. Well,
we'd do it as a podcast, but it's 3 hours long.
It'd be really long, and there'll be quizzes, competitions, guest appearances, and so forth.
Yeah. That's it from this one then. We'll be back with more next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.